So the next reading is from Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11, page 967 in your Bibles, and it's about the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
This as well is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brilliant morning, church. Good to see everybody. Anybody who doesn't know me, I'm Manda. I'm the vicar here, which is such a privilege to lead and be involved in such a great church. So here we are at the beginning of Lent. We had a great service on Ash Wednesday, and this is the first Sunday of Lent. Now, you can see behind me that the colour that we put on the altar front and at the first service in terms of the stole that I wore is purple. And I realised that, you know, like I do actually have, not bishop's shirts, obviously, but I do have some lilac. But I'm looking out, actually. Some people are well on message, Lent message. Amanda came up to read the Bible, purple scarf. Ruth, purple coat. Rosemary, purple jumper. I think Julie Croxford, where have you gone? I noticed. Oh, she's in the creche. She's got purple jumper on. There we go. But the purple bit isn't the important bit of Lent, is it? The important bit of Lent is about how we journey to Easter with a period of self-reflection and examination. But do you know what? The invitation, brothers and sisters, is to draw closer to God. I told this story at the 9 o'clock service about 4 years ago, around this time. Paul and I had visitors to stay. Our dear friends, Sarah and Saranjan from India, the couple that I stayed with during my sabbatical. And there was a bit of a cold snap that February. And so my wonderful Indian friends had jumper upon jumper. But some of you know, and if you've not been round yet, you are always welcome. We have a most wonderful log burner in that Inglenook fireplace in the vicarage. So, of course, we put the log burner on. Saranjan chose the chair near the log burner. It wasn't long before Saranjan was sat on the floor, even closer to the log burner. And I looked at one point, and he was sat in the hearth. I think if it wouldn't have burnt his bottom, he would have sat on the log burner. But it's a beautiful picture of drawing closer. And that's an invitation to us, always, but a Lenten invitation. The Church of England's resources this year that we're not necessarily tapping into, but they're called Draw Near, an invitation to draw near to God. And as Dave said, what I've chosen to do over these weeks of Lent is to use the readings that the church sets, because the church sets readings that enable us to see who Jesus is, to draw closer to him and walk with him to the cross and then that empty tomb. Lent is this period of preparation. And on this first Sunday of Lent, could I have the slide up, Rob? That's great. The church earmarks for us to look at the temptation of Jesus. Well, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Jesus was in that wilderness for 40 days, Lent is 40 days if we take off the Sundays. Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. For some people, the spiritual disciplines include fasting. And also, there Jesus resisted the evil one and so was close to his Father. And that's the Lenten journey. So we're going to look at this today, but what we do as we look at the temptation of Jesus is we want to ask, Lord, what are you saying to us? How are you speaking to spur us on? Not just about how we journey through Lent, but how we live under God and as disciples of Jesus daily and beyond Easter. But as an introduction, I'd like to take us back to last Saturday. Not yesterday, but the Saturday before. Now, some people, you've only had one cup of coffee, not two or whatever, and you're thinking, last Saturday, what's Manda on about? Where? Well, might help you if I give you the date. Last Saturday was February the 14th, Valentine's Day. Now, whether that was something for you or not doesn't matter. But I think we all probably know some of the Valentine's sentiments that are shared on that day. So, there are cards that say, "You have my heart." There'll be other cards that say, "I only have eyes for you." Rather like that craft event with goggly eyes, personally. Now, please don't mishear me. I'm obviously in no way wanting to reduce our relationship with God to Valentine's sentiments. But actually, what God desires from us are pure hearts that are devoted to him, for God to have our heart. He also desires that our focus is completely on him. Focus not on ourselves, not on someone else, not on material things, but a focus on him. But obviously, I'd like to try and be a good vicar, and so better than Valentine's cards, where do we find this call to have our heart and eyes fully committed to God in the Bible? Well, many places, but it's summed up in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. And we had that as our Old Testament reading. Thanks, Manda, for bringing that to us. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And actually, this morning, I want to say that this is what the temptation of Jesus is all about, and what I believe God is speaking to us about today. A heart for God and eyes only for him. A full commitment. It follows so well from our Be Devoted series. This is about complete commitment and devotion to the Lord. Now, if you're still with me, it might sound a bit odd for me to say that the temptation of Jesus is all about his full commitment to his Heavenly Father. Because he's already God and there's a Trinity. But as I go through now, I hope you'll see what I mean and grasp it and that it'll be helpful. So as we look in Matthew chapter 4, we find ourselves at the start of Jesus' earthly ministry. And so at the starting point, as he is 30 years old and steps into all that he's going to do, he needs to be fully committed and fully reliant on his Father. He needs that in order to be able to fulfill God's rescue plan. God has sent him. He needs to keep fully committed to him if he is to go to and go through the cross for me and for you. So I want to start by suggesting that there's a better title for this passage. In your Bible, it will be headed The Temptation of Jesus. I put up an introductory slide, The Temptation of Jesus. But rather than calling it The Temptation of Jesus, we can see it and call it The Testing of God's Son. And I was interested that when I went to Google Images and wrote the testing of God's Son, I got that picture. Because other people call it the testing of God's Son. Well, I need to first show us, take us on the journey of why can we call it that? What's the reasoning? What's the evidence for this? Well, if you've got the Bible with you and you look at the beginning of Matthew 4, you'll find the very beginning of our reading today states, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This all takes place under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, it must be taking place according to God's purpose. So I read this phrase this week that helped me. It is a divine testing rather than a satanic tempting. It's a divine testing rather than a satanic tempting. The other reason to call it this and to see it as the testing of Jesus is to look at the Greek. I don't do that very often, but it's helpful today. And the Greek word that's a verb that's used and translated temptation is perazo. Now, just to say that it does make sense to translate it as temptation, because what the devil is doing is trying to get Jesus to act against the will of God. And therefore, tempt is the right meaning. But if you look for that Greek word elsewhere in Matthew's gospel, we see that it occurs when individuals come to Jesus with hard questions, hoping to trap him. They're testing him. So, if we reframe the gospel passage now, we're going to reframe it as the testing of Jesus. And at this point, I want to make a brief comment about Matthew's gospel. Now, the gospels are the accounts of Jesus. They tell of his life, his teaching, his miracles, his death and resurrection. They all do that. But they're all different authors, although God is the author of each of them. And they all have different slants. And Matthew's gospel, written for the Jewish readership. Matthew has a Jewish audience in mind. Go home today and flick through Matthew. You will see in your Bibles how that there are many of the prophecies are in there, bits from the Old Testament. It's written to convince the Jewish people that this is him. This is the Messiah that you've been waiting for. Now, knowing that Matthew was written specifically for a Jewish audience, consider what would come to their minds when they heard or read this passage from Matthew 4. They read of a wilderness or desert. They read the number 40. What comes to a Jewish mind is, of course, the 40 years the Israelites were wandering in the desert before entering the promised land. And how do the Israelites view this, and even God viewed it? As a testing. When Moses addressed the Israelites, reviewing their time in the desert, he says this to them. Remember how the Lord your God led you, another resonance, all the way into the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you. Why? But why? Okay, if I'm going with you, Amanda, and it's a test, why? In order to know what was in your heart and whether or not you would keep his God's commandments. It was a testing of the heart, a testing of obedience. So when we come to Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days, we see his testing. And the focus of the testing is found in that phrase that introduces the devil's first two suggestions. There are three dialogues between the devil and Jesus. And in the first two, the devil starts with, if you are the Son of God. Important phrase. Now, this, of course, relates to the passage immediately before the one we've had read today. If you've got a Bible open at Matthew 4, you cast your eyes upwards to the end of Matthew 3, and we find Jesus' baptism. This is where, as Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan and comes up out of the water, heaven is torn open. The Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove, and a voice comes from heaven, which says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Jesus has heard his Father's voice, that wonderful declaration, "This is my Son." And in this testing, what the devil is trying to do is to drive a wedge between the recently declared Son and his Father. This is the testing. Will Jesus, the Son of God, remain completely committed to his Father? Because he needs to, if he's to fulfill the reason he came to earth. As we journey through Lent, we will come to Easter. And that's when Jesus, the Son of God, is supremely tested, being willing to go to the cross for you and me. And just to add on to all this, and an interesting aside, it's whilst Jesus is suffering the agony of the cross that those words the devil uses in his temptation are echoed by the crowds. They look at Jesus on the cross and they say, "Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." So let's look at the testing that takes place. It's the passage given to us today. A key thing to see is that Jesus responds to each of the devil's testings with scripture. He responds with verses from the Bible. If we are to resist temptation, if we are to respond to periods of testing, if we're to have pure hearts and be obedient to God, fully committed to him, we need to know his word, his truth. And not just to know it, it's not like an academic head thing, but to let it dwell richly in us so it shapes who we are and how we respond to things. And as Jesus responds to the tests, temptations with scripture, we see that they're all drawn from one chunk of the Bible. They're all drawn from Deuteronomy chapters 6 to 8. The account I've referred to. Moses addressing the Israelites at the end of their 40 years before they go into Canaan. As I've said, what Moses is doing is reminds the Israelites of their wilderness experience, outlining that this 40 years has been a time of preparation for them. And it's also been proving to them the amazing, wonderful faithfulness of God. They had been learning what it meant to live in trusting obedience to God. And as we'll look now, we'll see that the lessons the Israelites were to learn, and did so, well, I suppose partially, are the things that Jesus knows and has learnt fully and uses them, therefore, to rebut the devil. Okay, let me take you to the next verse in Deuteronomy 8, where Moses says to the people, I think I'm stuck here, Rob, so maybe you just press enter and we might go on a verse. That's brilliant. There we go. Thank you very much. I think my batteries might have gone. So Moses says to them, he, God, humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna. Manna is this very strange bread, white stuff that came down every morning to feed the Israelites during their desert experience, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus is hungry. I can be hungry after 40 minutes after eating my tea. 40 days and 40 nights, no food. The very hungry Jesus is tested by the suggestion, well, look at these stones, turn them into bread. But he responds with this very scripture, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's a temptation about physical things, about trying to gratify ourselves with physical stuff. But Jesus knows how to respond. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Trust God and do so by trusting his word. The next interchange between the devil and Jesus really shows us how we do need to be on our guard, because the devil is so devious. He's heard Jesus respond to his first thing with scripture. So he now uses scripture himself. He takes Jesus up onto a high place. He suggests Jesus throw himself down, because he then quotes the scripture that he will send his angels concerning you. They will lift up their hands and they will not let your foot be hurt. The devil is certainly devious. What he's doing is tapping into ego and pride. Well, I can do this because the angels will help me. But Jesus knows his scripture, and he responds, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Where's this quote from? Deuteronomy 6:16. Oh, it looks like I'm working again. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massa. Third, then, this interchange between the devil and Jesus. Really here, we certainly see the devil, if there was any disguise, it certainly slips here. He shows his hand completely, because what the devil wants is for Jesus to worship him. He takes him up to an even higher point, shows him all the kingdoms and says, these can be yours. That temptation to power, to have, to be over things. He says, you can have all that if you will bow down and worship me. Gosh, this gets an amazing response from Jesus. So strong. Away from me, Satan. And then the scriptures, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Where's that from? Deuteronomy 6:13. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. All the tests that the devil brings to Jesus, Jesus answers with scripture. All the scriptures that Jesus uses are from Deuteronomy 6 to 8, where Moses has been reminding the Israelites of the things they learnt in their 40 years in the desert. Things of staying committed, focused, and trusting in God, and seeing how faithful God is. The Israelites, who were the children of God, were tested in the wilderness. Now Jesus, the Son of God, is taken to the wilderness to be tested. Jesus faces the same tests and has learnt the lessons which Israel only learnt partially. Jesus shows his close relationship with his Father, his complete trust in him, and his unwavering focus on him. Jesus' triumphal rebuttal of each of the devil's suggestions ensures that that Father-Son bond can survive everything. In spite of what's to come, he stays true to his Father. For all the conflict that lies ahead, he will remain in his Father and so can go to the cross for us. The temptation or testing of Jesus is a good place to come, because it shows us more of who Jesus is. Jesus, the Son of God, will not fail. Hope can truly be put in him. The new Exodus will succeed. When we come to this today, we can be assured that Jesus is good news for us. And if you don't yet know Jesus as good news, as Lord and Saviour, the one who brings forgiveness and life in its fullness, then keep drawing closer to him. We see he is good news for us, and it's good news that we can share with others. I love this quote from Michael Golder. Where Israel of old stumbled and fell, Christ, the new Israel, stood firm. This is our Jesus, who shows us how to love and trust our Heavenly Father, whatever's going on, and to do so in the deepest and truest way. So what might we take away today, having looked at the testing of the Son of God? Well, firstly, one of the things we can do in Lent is meditate on the Word of God. One thing we take from this is to know the Bible and let Scripture dwell in us so that God's Word will equip us and shape us. The second thing I think we can see that we can really trust God. It would be true to say that we will be tested, but we can stand firm. Jesus is our model, and the Holy Spirit can be our strength. And thirdly, and very importantly, if you ever feel under direct attack from the evil one, then use the words of Jesus in that third and final dialogue. Away from me, Satan. If you ever, in the night of the day, think that the evil one is getting at you, please use the words, in the name of Jesus, be gone. The name of Jesus has power in it. But I hope that going through this as the testing of Jesus is also an encouragement to draw closer to God. I started with these Valentine's cards, but it is a serious spiritual call for our hearts and our eyes to be set on God. What I've tried to do today from my reading, praying, and preparation is to relate the testing of Jesus to the address of Moses in Deuteronomy 6-8. And I want to end by going back to near the beginning of that bit in Deuteronomy 6:4-5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You know, when Jesus is asked what's the greatest commandment, he says this. And then he says, and love your neighbour as yourself. What a joyous Lent journey we will have if we look to loving God with all our heart, soul, and strength, and loving neighbour as ourselves. It's this total commitment to God that the wilderness experience was designed to test. I've decided, as one of my Lenten disciplines, to read, recite this verse daily. And I just wondered, you're wearing the purple, you might want to do this as well. So I've just made cards. If they come home and become recycling paper, that's fine. But if you would be helped by coming before the Lord daily this Lent and saying, Lord, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Lord, help me to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. Amen.